That being said, if you have a Bible, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6 is a passage we're going to be at this morning. One of my favorite passages, passage that the Lord brought to both myself and Pastor Derek this week and as we were prepping for today. Isaiah chapter 6 is where we're going to be. You know, whenever we talk about all in, right, understand, church, that we're talking about more than just some campaign. Right, although we are involved in a financial campaign here, right, over the next few years, it's more than that. Right, this call to be all in is a call to, man, ultimately be all in for Jesus as followers of Him. Learning the concept of what it looks like to live life open-handed. Learning the concept of what it looks like to fully surrender your all to Him and to trust, man, that He's going to be willing and able to provide and to guide you where you need to go. And so, you know, understand that. But as we continue to move forward in this campaign, understand that it's more than just, you know, a campaign. Man, this is a call for our life as Christians. Right? And this call for us, if we want to be folks that are all in for Him, right, we've got to be folks that understand and have the right perspective of who God is. We do. And we're going to see that here in Isaiah 6 about what that looks like. Well, whenever I think of perspective, I think of the story of the teenage boy one time that was out playing basketball in his driveway. He's playing his buddy, and one of his contacts gets knocked out. And so, you know, pauses the game, goes to look around to see where the contact is, right, and can't find it. So he goes inside and tells his mom, "Hey, Mom, I lost my contact. I don't know what to do." Well, the mom, without skipping a beat, gets up from the couch real fast, heads outside to begin frantically looking for that contact. And she spends a good 30, 45 minutes out there looking for it. And after that time, she finally finds it and brings it back inside to the son. And the son's like, "Mom, why'd you spend all that time looking for that contact? Man, it's just a little old piece of, you know, plastic. Right? I can go get another." And the mom, without skipping a beat, she said this, "Yeah, you know, to you, it's a little piece of plastic. To me, it's a $150 piece of plastic." What that is. Right, the mom's perspective, right, was that, man, that's an expensive, you know, piece of plastic that she needed to find, right, or else she was going to have to pay $150. She had the right perspective there. Listen, in the same way, church, hear me out, hear me close. The way that we view God, the way that we view Him, the perspective that we have of Him is going to lead to the way that we choose to live for Him. The view that we have of God is going to lead to the way that we choose to live for Him. And so in Isaiah 6, we see here Isaiah has an accurate view of God. And you see that it leads to the way that he chooses to respond and to live for Him. Entitled the text simply this, Motivation for the Mission. Motivation for the Mission. Isaiah chapter 6, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Let me know that you're there by saying there this morning. And why don't we read together? If you don't have a copy of God's Word, it'll be on the screen. Here's what the Word of the Lord says. In the year that King Uzziah died, I, talking about Isaiah, first person here, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. Real quick, King Uzziah, man, one of the famous kings of Judah around the 8th century B.C., one of the few kings that actually, man, tried to live his life for the Lord. You know, there are many kings throughout that time that struggled to do that. But he was one of the few that lived his life for the Lord. Stumbled towards the end, right, end up, you know, getting real sick. But man confessed his sin to the Lord, and man lived another 10, 15 years. On top of that, man, he was a good friend of Isaiah. And so him dying was a big deal. It really impacted Isaiah's life. And really impacted the lives of those in Israel as well. Because he was one of the few kings that stood for him. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Let me go ahead and throw this in for no charge. Got this from Pastor Derek at Lead Pastor Arsengo campus. I love this. Isaiah, in the midst of his turmoil and strife, it says that he saw the Lord, man, sitting on his throne. Hey, Brother Kyle, the Lord wasn't frantically pacing around to and fro, man, worried about what was going on in Isaiah's life. He was sitting on the throne. Why? Because he is sovereign. He is in control. I've heard Pastor Derek say it like this before. He said this, hey, our crises here on earth don't constitute as emergencies up in heaven. Amen. They don't. And so for us, man, whatever we're going through in life, man, take it to the Lord. He knows anyway. And he's in control, man. He's willing to meet us where we are. And we see that happen here. Lord, sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. Seraphim, angelic beings, is what that means there. That the last two letters there, I am, right in the original language, signifies that it's a plural word. And so a multitude of angels, several angels that were there in this scene of Isaiah seeing the Lord. And one called to another and said this, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is filled or is full of his glory. Verse 4, and the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, woe is me, for I am lost, and I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, capital K, by the way, capital K, King of Kings. I've seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt has been taken away and your sin atoned for. Amen. Hey, how many of you are glad that our sin has been atoned for in Christ? Amen. In verse 8. And after that, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. The motivation for the mission. Why don't we pray together? Lord, we love you. We pray for these next few moments that you'd speak to us, meet us, God, where we are today, Lord. And God, remind us of the motivating factors that ought to lead us to be folks that are sold out for you. That ought to lead us to be folks that are all in for you. Lord, we love you. We thank you. And we ask these things all in your gracious and heavenly name. Amen and amen. We see Isaiah here highlight three motivating factors, right, to live life on mission. Three motivating factors to be folks that are all in for him this morning. First motivating factor that he highlights is this, right, to, man, the greatness of God. A motivating factor for us being all in, man, for God is his greatness and who he is. Isaiah, just picture this. Isaiah is trying to describe, right, to him seeing the Lord. Although it's tough because, man, hey, the God of the universe, he's indescribable. But he's trying to describe what he's seeing here. And look at some of the vivid picture that he paints here. Man, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe, man, it filled the entire temple. Filled the entire temple. Man, he's speaking of, man, this God that is great. It's great. Now, whenever I talk about God being great, I'm not talking about, you know, just this thought of, you know, that phrase being a footnote to some song. Some of you are probably thinking of that song right now. You know, God is great. You know, a certain kind of beverage is good and people are crazy. You probably heard that country song before. Not talking about that. Not talking about that. Listen, it's more than just, you know, that idea of God being great is more than just some footnote to some song. It is. It speaks to God's vastness. His renown. Right? The fact that, man, he's bigger than we could ever think or imagine. Right, it speaks to his splendor. And that's what Isaiah is trying to get at, right? Here it is. Man, he has a high view of the Lord. He sees him for who he is. And listen, in the same way, we have to as well. Because you're talking about wanting to be motivated to go be on mission, motivated to be all in. Here it is. Whenever you choose to have a high view of God is when you choose to have a high commitment for him. Whenever you choose to have a high view of God is when you choose to have a high commitment to him. And the reverse is true as well. Man, you have a low view of God? Yes, he is our friend. He is our, but he's more than that. He's more than just our homeboy. Hey, he's more than just somebody, man, we dap up with. Man, we spend, you know, 2 minutes a day saying what's up to before we go about our day. More than that. We've got to have a high view of God because, listen, that leads to a high commitment to Him. That's what Isaiah is talking about here. I love what the psalmist says in Psalm 95 whenever he speaks of the greatness of God. Here's what he says. It's on the screen as well. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the depths of the earth. The heights of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Listen, a motivating factor for us going all in is understanding the greatness of God. Real quick, how is He great? I'm glad you asked. We see Isaiah highlighted, you know, right here in the text. How is He great? First and foremost, man, the reason why He's great is because, man, He's King. Isaiah says, man, I saw the Lord sitting on His throne. Sitting on His throne. Listen, God is King. He is the everlasting King. Matter of fact, the Bible says, man, that He is King over an invincible kingdom. We know throughout all the time there are kingdoms that have come, that have risen, and there are and all those kingdoms have fallen at some point in time. But there's one kingdom that's going to remain forever. And that's the one that God's over. Amen? That's the one that He's over. And so we understand that He is King. And His kingdom has no end. We understand that He's the ruler of all creation. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 11 and 12. Look at, in the midst of a prayer, look what it said here. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heavens and the earth is Yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and You are exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come from You, and You rule over all. In Your hand are power and might, and in Your hand it is to make great and give strength to all. Sum it up, let me put it this way. Hey, God, this, you know, a word that we use in Dallas for friend is kinfolk. You probably heard of it before. Hey, God is more than just your kinfolk. He's King. He's King. He's King over the universe. And if you know Him as Savior and Lord, man, He's supposed to be King over your heart as well. And so we ought to see Him this way. Here's the question. Is He King of your heart? Is He? If He is, hey, it's a motivating factor in you choosing to be all in for Him. He's King. Secondly, we see this, man. Isaiah says the reason why He's great is because He's transcendent. Transcendent. That phrase there, hey, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the entire temple. Man, that speaks to God's transcendence, literally His otherness. The fact that, He's not like us. Man, He became sin for us through the person of Jesus, right? He became flesh and dwelt among us. But listen, man, God, He is not like us. He's otherworldly, high and lifted up. Man, greater than us. Whenever we think of God, we obviously think a lot of times of His immanence, the fact that He is near to us, and He is. Matter of fact, He's with us, Emmanuel, God with us. Those of us who know Christ, man, He lives inside of us. He walks alongside us. He is with us. But also we've got to understand that, man, He's greater than we are. He's greater. No one compares to Him. No one is like Him. He is over all. Psalm 113 says, well, the Lord is high above all nations, and His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who's seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? Listen, He is transcendent. Let me even bring it down to even more layman's terms. What that means is, hey, God is bigger than any box you try and put Him into. Hey, God is bigger than we could ever, you know, think or imagine Him being. He's transcendent. And listen, we ought to view Him as such. He's not just some statue that's sitting up in our closet. Pay homage to every once in a while. He's greater than that. He's transcendent. And then thirdly, is this, man, what makes Him so great? Hey, He's worthy of all worship. The picture of the seraphs here singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of His glory. Man, what a picture. What a picture. And let me teach you a little bit too here, talking about, you know, let me take you to seminary class a little bit here. Hey, the angels in their posture, right? It says that, man, they had two wings that covered their face, two that covered their feet, and with two that they flew. man, it speaks to having this posture of reverence. It speaks to having reverence. So these angels, man, are reverently coming before the Lord, proclaiming holy, 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 declaring who He is. Declaring who He is. Because they understand, hey, He's the only one that's worthy of worship. And in the same way, church, hey, the reason why He's so great, because, man, He's the only one that's worthy of worship. Only one that's, man, worthy of our praise. Only one who's worthy of our reverence. We got to make the choice to ascribe all praise to the one who is absolutely holy and see Him as such. Psalm 145, verses 1 through 3 says it this way. I will extol or I will praise You, my God and King, and bless Your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless You and praise Your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable. Listen, when we come to know this great God for who He is, listen, that ought to lead us to be sold out for the mission. Whenever we come to understand that He's worthy, only one worthy of worship, man, we ought to understand, listen, that applies to us. It doesn't just apply to Isaiah here in Isaiah 6. That applies to us. We ought to be folks that are willing to choose to worship Him, not just with our lips, but with our life as well. And give our all to Him. It's worthy of it. How do you view the Lord? Do you have a high view of Him today? You have a high view of Him. I love this quote. Man, it punches me in the gut every time I read it. Because, man, it hits me. You know, it's pretty convicting. But I love this quote here that says this, right, in relation to our culture and our view of God. Our culture does not help us to smash our graven image of the casual God. Our culture proclaims that God must be the essence of tolerance. That He is simply chummy or, you know, He's just simply our homie rather than holy. That He's simply, hey, just the man upstairs, the dude upstairs, rather than our Father for Jesus' sake. So long as our novelty license plates declare that God is my co-pilot, we can be sure that we have not yet seen the King, the Yahweh of hosts. Listen, man, God is great. He's more than just our homeboy. Even though He is close to us and He is a friend, He's more than that. He's more than just our co-pilot. He's not that. He's the Creator and King. And His greatness, right, is to be praised. And listen, His greatness ought to motivate us to be folks that are sold out to Him. Be folks that answer the call and walk in what He's called for us to be. Number one motivating factor is this, the greatness of God. Secondly, right, the second motivating factor is this, the gift of grace. The gift of grace. Aren't you glad for the gift of grace today? Those of you who know Christ, aren't you glad for the gift? We see that take place here in Isaiah. When Isaiah sees the Lord, right, his response is, woe is me. He's broken up over his sin because, man, he has encountered a holy God. And listen, he as a sinner, he that has broken up as he is, man, he can't be in his presence broken up. And so his natural response is, woe is me. Woe is me. And we see, man, God, instead of, hey, doing the rightful thing, since he's just, he's holy, and striking him dead, man, his response is mercy. It is grace. He grabbed the tongs and grabbed the coal from the altar, which, by the way, it's a symbol of, right, Christ. Right, that altar in the Old Testament was used as a place where the sacrifice to atone for the sins of the people happened once a year. And so we know, right, in Christ, he atoned for our sins once and for all. Hebrews 7 through 9 talks about that. We know that to be true. And so we see this picture here, right, of man, Christ, in the midst of this story. And ultimately, Isaiah, right, his sins being atoned for by that coal touching his lips. We see the gift of grace shown here. A motivating factor for us to be folks that are on mission, right, is, man, understanding and reflecting on the gift of God's grace. We got to reflect on it. Got to reflect on it. I love what Rick Warren says whenever he talks about the grace of God. He says this, without the grace of Jesus, right, we find ourselves at a hopeless end. But rather, with the grace of Jesus, man, we have encountered an endless hope. Say that one more time. That might have went over your head here. Listen, without the grace of Jesus, man, we find ourselves, right, headed towards a hopeless end. But rather, with the grace of Jesus, we find ourselves encountering an endless hope. Man, the gift of grace. Gift of grace. What makes the gift of grace so sweet for us? It's understanding, one, right, the inadequacy of mankind. Isaiah saw that, man, hey, I'm broken up. Isaiah, man, he loved Jesus. He loved the Lord, man. He was one that followed him. He was one of the few that followed him. But yet, hey, even him at that point in time, man, he was aware of his sin and aware of the fact that he needed to be made clean. And that's what makes grace so sweet, is understanding the holiness of God, number one, but understanding, man, our inadequacy. The fact that on our own, man, we can't enter into the presence of God. We need to be made clean. We need to be made right. Then also what makes the grace of God so sweet is, man, his goodness. The goodness of God. And that's the picture of the coal touching the lips, man. God made a way for our sins to be atoned for. Made a way through the cross of Christ for our sins to be atoned for once for all. We know that. That's the gospel message. But even now, right, those of us who are in here, man, that might be walking in sin right now. You know Jesus. You have a relationship with him, but you may be walking in sin. And, you know, been a while since you've been able to worship. Been a while since you've heard his voice. Been a while since you've been in his presence. Listen, hey, there's a way, man, for you to be forgiven and cleansed and made clean again. And that's running to Jesus. 1 John 1:9 says this: if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hey, that simple fact today, the goodness of God in making a way for us, right, to be restored to fellowship with God whenever we do find ourselves in sin, man, that ought to motivate us to be folks that are all in on this mission for him. Maybe you're in here and it's been a while, hey, you hadn't been able to go all in because you're trying to deal with your sin struggles on your own instead of taking them to God. Either you choose to bury them, either you choose to simply ignore them and say, oh man, God's a God of grace. Hey, you know, even if I don't confess it to him and get real with him, man, he'll take care of it anyway. Now, the Bible says, hey, our sin, man, it ruins our fellowship with him. And we've got to confess our sins to the Lord, man, so that he can restore us. Your response today is to respond to his goodness. That ought to fire us up to be folks, man, that are willing to be all in for him. Understanding the gift of grace ought to motivate us to be all in for him. It ought to motivate us to be like that lady in Luke chapter 7. You probably remember her. A lady that brought that expensive oil. Randomly one day came in, broke it at the feet of Jesus, washed Jesus' feet. The disciples saying, what that lady doing? That's about a year's worth of perfume right there. What you doing wasting that? And Jesus looked at him. I imagine he kind of chuckled a little bit. He said, see, listen, no, she gets it. She understands. Hey, to whom's been forgiven of much, loves much. One who's been forgiven of much, loves much. And that ought to be the same attitude we have. Understanding, man, that this gift of grace, listen, we don't deserve to be able to be in the presence of the Lord, but he made a way. Ought to motivate us to be all in and give our life to him. Ought to. First motivating factor is, right, for us being on mission is the greatness of God. The second motivating factor is the gift of grace. Then thirdly and lastly, third motivating factor for us going all in is the urgency to go. The urgency to go. The urgent call to go. Isaiah, he saw the Lord. Man was broken up over his sin. God atoned for it whenever he confessed it to him. And then we see verse 8, his response. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then immediately, Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Here I am, send me. Listen, the motivating call for us to be on mission for the Lord ought to be the fact that, man, there's tons of folks that need to experience the same grace we've experienced in Christ. The motivating factor for us choosing to live life on mission ought to be an excitement for us to share. Hey, like the psalmist said in Psalm 66, hey, come and listen to what the Lord's done for my soul. Motivating factor for us going is to share, man, hey, just as the Lord, man, satisfied my soul, he's willing to satisfy yours. Hey, just as the Lord, man, reconciled me back to relation with him, but also reconciled my marriage, hey, he wants to do the same for you. Hey, just as the Lord, man, met me at the darkest place of my life, hey, listen, he wants to do the same for you. Motivating factor for us living life on mission ought to be to understand the urgency and choose to respond and go. And I love the family at our church in Lars. They're at our Sango location. Jim and Linda Sims, older couple that understood this concept of being willing to go. Understood this concept of being all in for him and saying, Jesus, no matter where you take us, no matter what you called us to, we're all in for you. All in for you. And so we're going to go. Going to go. And they are awesome testimonies of a life lived well on mission for the Lord. Matter of fact, I love their story so much. We've got a little testimony video on the screen here. So why don't you turn your attention to the screen and watch this short testimonial of Jim and Linda Sims and their life.
We are Jim and Linda Sims. We're missionaries with Ethnos 360. I'm in the aviation division. I'm a fixed wing and a helicopter pilot.
Yeah.
We came from Montgomery, Alabama, where I was in a family business with my dad, and we did that for 11 years. Then we had an opportunity. I've always loved flying. I've been flying since I was 16 years old. So I was flying helicopters with the Alabama National Guard, and we just felt like that was what we needed to do. So we moved to Plano, Texas. We joined the church there, Plano Bible Chapel. And while we were there, a missionary couple from the Philippines came, joined the church, and here's where we got introduced to missions. We didn't know anything about missions. We had never met a missionary, so we knew nothing. We get a call just before the Easter weekend, and the call went something like this.
Jim, Dottie is going to take a bunch of people to New Tribes Language School in Missouri.
Okay.
Easter weekend.
Easter weekend.
You think we might go?
Easter weekend? Why would we do that?
It's going to be really interesting. We'll get to meet some missionaries.
Well, you know, I guess it's a long weekend. I guess we could do that.
Okay.
Now, a lot of time has passed, almost 3 years from the process of the starting.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at the breakfast table one morning, and I said, so how'd you sleep last night?
Well, it was kind of interesting, a little bit unusual.
What was that?
I woke up and couldn't go back to sleep, so I went and did some Bible reading.
Okay.
And God took me to where Abraham is being told by God, leave your land, leave your people, and go to a land I will show you.
That is very interesting. Pass the salt and pepper over there. Right over my head.
Yeah.
So we continued to go. We were talking about missions now.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, quite a bit of time has passed, and we're thinking, okay, if we're going to do missions, we really need it. We're going to go as a family. We're going to all go, or none of us are going to go on this one.
Okay, my thoughts during this time were we're trusting God to put us where he wants us and to use us the way he wants to, whether it's here or somewhere else, and in his timing.
Now, we're out of the job, answer the prayer. The house is sold, answer the prayer. It's God's timing. So now we're getting ready to go to training. This is in December. We're going to training on like the 15th of January, just like in 4 weeks. So God lined all of that up.
Yeah.
We went to missionary training, and then we had to go to aviation training. And the interesting thing about the aviation training was all the pilots, we just go where the need is. Like it could have been Indonesia, New Guinea, Philippines. It could have been South America, Central America. So the director looks at me and he says, well, Jim, the helicopter's in New Guinea. That's the only one we've got. I guess that's where you guys are going. And I said, great, where's New Guinea? But the interesting thing is, it's sort of a full circle with Linda having the experience of reading in Genesis where Abram is told by the Lord, hey, fold up your tent and go to a place that I'll tell you. You don't know where it is, but I'll guide you to do that. And he stepped out by faith to do that. So now we're stepping out in faith and going to a place where we don't even know where it is. And God, we know that by faith we're going to do this and God's going to take care of us. We've been in the mission now for 33 plus years. And God has always met our needs. He has always taken care of us and our family. And we are so thankful that we said yes.
If I could say anything, I would say stay close to the Lord. Listen to Him. And just surrender yourself to His direction. And then move on what He shows you. Step out in faith.
When Jim and Linda finally answered the call to go, they dedicated their life to a life of service and surrender to Him. I didn't know where they were going, didn't know what that looked like, but they answered the call to go. They said, "Here I am, send me." You may say, "Oh, Pastor Irv, listen, I know good and well I'm not called to be on missions. Man, I got all these kids. I can't carry them over across the world. I got all this stuff going on." You may not be called to go overseas, but maybe the Lord's calling you to go across the street. Maybe He's calling you to go across the cubicle or across the office area there. Say, "Oh, Pastor Irv, man, I'm not a preacher. I can't share." You may not be a preacher, but maybe the first step is having a conversation, inviting them with this little invite card. "Hey, we got church over here, man, on the back, the greatest news ever. I want to share with you what Jesus Christ has done for my life." Maybe that's the first step for you. But listen, all of us in here who've experienced the transforming work of Jesus when we surrendered our heart and life to Him, now we've all been given this call to go. And here's the awesome thing. I love what Romans 10:15 says. It says it. Hey, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. And so listen, let's be folks that understand this urgent call to go. Understand that life is but a vapor. Hey, we're here today, gone tomorrow. And so let's be folks like what Paul says in Ephesians 5:15-16, where he says, hey, let's be folks that make the most of the time, for these days are evil. Be folks that make the most of the time. In wrapping up today, the motivation to live a life on mission, motivation for the mission, the motivation for us to be all in. Got plenty of motivation enough in us understanding the God that we worship and follow. Understanding how great He is and how awesome it is we get a chance to be a part of His work and building His kingdom here. That ought to be motivation enough. What ought to be motivation enough is understanding this gift of grace. Man, this great God, we have no business fellowshipping with Him. Our sins, they're many. Man, but praise God, His mercy's more. And so that ought to be motivation for us to be all in for Him. And then the motivation that there's many of folks that if they die today, they're going to spend forever separated from God. That ought to be motivation enough. And so here's the question. Will you go all in? Will you be one that chooses, man, to give, to build God's kingdom, chooses to serve in God's kingdom, and choose to invite folks to come to church and to come to Christ? Will you choose to be all in? Will you choose to be all in? With heads bowed and eyes closed, ask for the band to come up as we wrap up this morning. If I'm to be completely honest, heads bowed and eyes closed, here's the truth. Because of who God is and what He's done in our life, this call to live a life surrendered to Him really is a non-negotiable. I'm just being honest. Because of who He is and what He's done, man, because we've surrendered our life to Him and we have a relationship with Him again, this call to be all in is a non-negotiable. And so the real question is, what does that look like in your life? What does that look like in your life? As our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, listen, maybe you're in here and like I mentioned in the previous service, the reason why you hadn't gone all in is because you have a low view of God. You do see God as just your homie. You do see God as your co-pilot. One that, hey, you know, you say, man, I'm going to live my own life. I'm going to be the driver of the car. I'll consult God if I need His help. But when in reality, I mean, he's not that. He wants to be the driver. And maybe it's a shift in perspective. You need to ask the Lord to shift your perspective. Maybe you're in here and the reality is the reason why you hadn't been all in is because you're still harboring up sin in your heart and life. You haven't been like Isaiah when you've seen the Lord. I mean, you understand your sin, but instead of confessing it to Him, getting right with Him, you're trying to cover it up because of what other people may think. Trying to just bury it in the ground because of the shame that comes with it. And maybe today the response needs to be for you to just lay it at the feet of Jesus. Call out to Him. Hey, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you're in here and you need to ask the Lord for strength to go across the cubicle, to go across the workspace, to go across the street, to invite that friend, that neighbor, to have that conversation with that coworker, to talk to that family member. Knowing that, man, life is but a vapor. We need to make the most of the time. I don't know where you are today, but I'm going to pray for us. And as I pray, you do business with God. Hey, He's speaking to you. He's speaking to you. You do business with Him. Whenever I say amen, we're going to stand and sing and worship. And maybe you need to continue doing business with God. As we've said before, maybe you need to make your seat your altar. Maybe you need to come down to the front and make the front your altar. Get right with the Lord. Maybe you need some prayer. Brother Cody, our operations minister, will be down front here. He'd love to pray with you. I'll be in the back. Miss Megan, Norman, our children's minister, she'll be in the back. We'd love to pray with you. But listen, you do business with the Lord. Man, let's be folks that are all in for Him. Man, because He's worthy of it. He's worthy of it. Why don't we pray? Lord, we love You. Thank You for today, Lord. God, we do pray today that we'd be folks that are all in for You. Make aware of stuff that's keeping us from being all in. And God, may we choose to deal with it. We love You. We thank You. And we ask these things all in Your gracious and heavenly name. Amen and amen. Why don't you stand and sing and listen. You respond as the Lord leads today.